Real quick.
Yeah, I see you texting, but I'm sitting right across from you, so what's going on with that?
Hold on, I'm posting this picture. One second.
All right, I'm trying to get some love. I'm right across from the table, and you're looking at your phone. What's up with that?
Okay, let me put it down just for you.
Across from the table.
All right, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. I am Tariq. We're broadcasting live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is brought to you by Wilshire Financial. If you need $150,000 or more for any worthy business project, they can help you. Loan approvals between 24 or 48 hours and funding within 5 days or less. Their on-site team of experts at Wilshire Financial will handle all the details from start to finish. Give them a call at 702-747-5648. They have experts standing by waiting on any questions you might have. Today's show is also brought to you by IUJAMA.com. That's a new black business directory with free and paid listing plans. Start now and sign up for one of the free business listing plans and list your black business either on a physical store or just online. Go to IUJAMAA.com. That's IUJAMAA.com, ladies and gentlemen. So we're doing it. It's Thanksgiving right now. Shout out to everybody chilling with their family for the holidays. So everybody, while you're listening to me, grab you a plate of greens, some gizzards, some hog mogs. I know you're eating hog mogs and chitlins and shit. Grab you a plate. Listen to today's broadcast, because we're going to get into this whole thing with the verdict and how we need to keep our foot on the gas as far as the verdict in this Ahmaud Arbery case. But we're going to take another quick commercial break while everybody's gathering in here. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and we will be right back after these quick messages.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Check out the brand new album release by MC artist Robbie Blue, and his album is called Chapter 6, Birth of a Nation. It's available right now on all streaming platforms. His first single, which is what you're listening to now, is called Exodus, featuring Roxy Reese. And again, you can get this streaming album on all streaming platforms right now. And you can also listen to it on YouTube right now. Robbie Blue, Chapter 6, Birth of a Nation.
What if you could write everything down in one book and send it to your younger self of the past? What would you say in it? Would you tell them to pace themselves or brace themselves? To prevent any paradoxical anomalies, we here at BlackKnowledge.online have considered all the variables, placing the most important in the green book of Black Knowledge. Everything your successful self of the future would tell you right now, all in one book. From ancient magi-like practices to health, financial wealth, and esoteric historical patterns. Support the Green Book of Black Knowledge campaign on Indiegogo and pre-order on BlackKnowledge.online. That's blackknowledge.online.
Our children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in on this lovely holiday afternoon. I know everybody's chilling with their family right now. I hate to date the shows. I hate to date these broadcasts, but it is Thanksgiving for those who don't know. And some of you listening in the future, just kind of ignore that because that's neither here nor there for future playback of this broadcast. But we're here. I know a lot of people are chilling with your families. So bump this for your family. Let your family gather around. Put this on the smart TV. Let the whole family listen in because this is good family learning and family entertainment. A lot of stuff we're going to touch on today's broadcast. Before we get into the whole guilty verdict of the white supremacists who lynched Ahmaud Arbery, we got to touch on some other things. First of all, RIP to the daughter of Malcolm X. Family, did y'all hear that Malcolm X's daughter was found dead, I want to say at her place in Brooklyn? This is very interesting because just recently, a few days ago, they announced that the people accused of killing Malcolm X, they've been exonerated. They had some people who were falsely accused for like, 50-something years, and they've exonerated them. And that's what the white supremacists do. They'll wait 50 years to exonerate somebody and clear their name after most of the people surrounding the case is dead and gone. You know, that's their little technique. They'll apologize 50 or 100 years later, like, oops, our bad. Well, racism is in the past. So they just exonerated those guys, and a couple of days later, Malcolm X's daughter is mysteriously dead. She was only 56 years old. And this story is still somewhat developing because the media announced it and then they quickly buried it. They didn't say anything else about it. They didn't even give details on how she damn died. Ain't that a trip? That's the thing that's raising the antennas. They haven't said how she died, why she died. I want to say they said natural causes. You don't die of natural causes at 56. That's not normal for you to die of natural causes at, no, not especially black folks. What's going on here? What happened? I got to talk to our brother James Small, Malika Shabazz. So we need to look into that, family. We got to keep our eyes on that. The white media, they're not going to uncover these things for us. This is why us on the grassroots, it's important that we keep our foot on the gas. And that's the theme of today's broadcast, keeping our foot on the gas. It is up to us on the grassroots to make sure justice is served, to make sure the white supremacists are kept in check. Because they are running roughshod, they will run amok with non-justice, and we are the only thing standing between complete white supremacist tyranny and justice. It is us, black folks. Other groups of people, they're perfectly fine with non-justice because they don't have a problem playing second fiddle. They know that black people, we're not going to play second fiddle. It's not our nature to be second fiddle. And the white supremacists know this. This is why they have to maintain a constant suppression mechanism against us. They know our potential. A lot of us don't know our potential. And as we see in this Ahmaud Arbery case, the reason why things went down the way it went down is because of the grassroots. Now, for those who don't know, Ahmaud Arbery, who was a black man out there in Georgia, he was jogging. Some white supremacists spotted him, and they took that as an opportunity to lynch him. That's all that happened. This was a lynching. This was an old-fashioned throwback Georgia lynching. And family, black folks, it's very important for us to use wording like this. It's very important for us to frame the narrative. If we let the dominant society frame the narrative, they'll make it seem like, well, Ahmaud Arbery was jogging and got into an altercation, and the altercation led to a self-defense. You know, they'll play that kind of game. We cannot leave it up to the white media to frame the narratives. We have to call things for what they are. This was a lynching. An old-fashioned lynching. The way you word things is very important. Black folks, we've gotten to this habit of following the lead of the white media. Family, that is something that we have to completely stop doing. The white media is so on code with these white supremacist terrorists. As we saw with Kyle Rittenhouse, understand, they play this left-wing, right-wing game. They're all on the same page. Remember, the so-called liberal media, they were on code with Kyle Rittenhouse. The liberal white supremacist media, they weren't calling out all of that nonsense going on in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, all of the blatant corruption that judge was doing. They weren't calling that out. They were just going along with it. The white media, they weren't announcing how Kyle Rittenhouse was on video beating up a girl. They downplayed that. A few media outlets spoke on it, but they downplayed that. They went along with the whole poor Kyle. He's an innocent baby who went out to Kenosha to protect businesses, and some mean old black people and white people attacked him. They went along with that narrative. I just want y'all to understand that. They went along with that narrative. When Kyle got on the stand with that fake ass, bad acting crying, the white media went along with it. With headlines like Kyle Rittenhouse sobbed. He sobbed on the witness stand. Everybody know that was fake as hell, but they went along with it. Never forget that. He's going around now. They're parading him around as a hero. He's taking pictures with Trump. Oh, they're rolling him around like a celebrity now. They're going along with the program. So we have to understand, black people, we cannot let the dominant society control the narrative. We have to control the narrative. See, that's how we step into power. That's how we step into our power. But going back to the Ahmaud Arbery situation where he was lynched, not only was he lynched, these white supremacists killed him and was like, that effing nigger, after they killed him. Then after they killed him, there was a major cover-up in that little town. They all covered up the murder. And they were all on code with each other. See, that's how white supremacists work. White supremacy is when a group of people within the system get on code to assist each other. You see, they made these guys somewhat the face of white supremacy, but all of the other people involved, they're just as complicit. That's why with this guilty verdict, now let's look at the case. The case went to trial. The judge and the lawyer for the white supremacists. Boy, they were doing all types of little racist maneuvers. They struck almost all the black jurors. There was only one black juror left. They were deliberately striking the black jurors. The judge was like, well, yeah, I see what they're doing, but it's the law. I just can't do nothing. I mean, you know, this whole thing where they're just so powerful, powerless, I mean, they act like, well, the system is the system. We can't do anything about it. That's a big crock of BS. The white supremacists love playing that the system is the system. We can't do nothing about the system. They play that game when white people are on the hot seat. As we see, when there are black judges, like it was a black judge out there in Texas who was reprimanding white people, they shut him down. Our good brother Judge Olu Stevens, when he tried to produce justice in these courtrooms out there in Kentucky, all of a sudden you see these secret oversight committees and these disciplinary committees pop up out of nowhere that can reprimand judges all of a sudden. When it comes to black judges, all of a sudden these disciplinary commissions pop up out of nowhere that you never heard of. Yeah, now the judges have to go on trial. Now the judges have to bow down in front of a damn committee all of a sudden. They act like these judges are end-all, be-all powerful as far as their rulings or whatever. They got to bow down to the statutes of the law. But when a black judge tries to do this, all of a sudden there's somebody over his head that you got to go to. Don't fall for it. They know how to reprimand judges for corruption. They just choose not to do it to the white ones. So now in this case, the judge in the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial, the murder trial of Ahmaud Arbery, of the white supremacists who were on trial, because Ahmaud wasn't on trial as they tried to portray him to be. You had the white lawyers in here talking crazy about Ahmaud Arbery, talking about how his fingernails were dirty. Yeah, he had on some shoes with no socks with dirty fingernails. They were using all of the coded racial language they could use. The lawyers for these white supremacists, they went full white supremacy. They were hoping, that's the new strategy in court now, to go in the courtroom and damn the dog whistles, just go all the way in. The lawyers for the white supremacists were talking about, hey, judge, there's too many black people coming in the courtroom sitting in. They were literally saying this. Yeah, Your Honor, all of the Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, can we get them out of the court? They're coming in here intimidating the jurors. Too many black pastors in here. How many black people are we going to let in here? I mean, they just let it all out. They let this thing all out. And the judge was given a slight little reprimand. I think the judges think they were going to do all of that racial posturing so that it would force a mistrial or something. But they were talking crazy. They were racist and loud about it. But there was so much noise made about this trial, and they had no real justification. They had zero justification. And then when they put these white supremacists on the stand, and they were burying themselves. So the jury came back with a guilty verdict, damn near on all counts. And plus, there were a lot of black folks around that damn courtroom, too. There were black people surrounding that courtroom waiting to see what that verdict was going to be. So they came back with guilty on almost all of the counts for all three of the white supremacists. And there are people taking their victory lap, but I'm saying this, we shouldn't take a victory lap yet because we have just begun. We have to learn how not to go out here celebrating too soon. This was a great victory, getting these three white supremacists in this trial where they were trying to cover it up. This is a very good victory, but let's not focus on taking a victory lap for too long and a long ass celebration, because black folks, we get in the habit, we get one little victory and then we celebrate for the next 20 damn years. We got a lot of work to do. We got to keep our foot on the gas. The real work has just begun, ladies and gentlemen. because we got to keep our foot on the gas and say, hey, not only are these guys guilty and we're good with that guilty verdict, we also need more charges on the officers who covered this thing up. Remember, there was a cover up. That prosecutor down there, they've already filed charges on her. We need to see her go all the way down. We need all of those other officials to be investigated too. I'm not taking a victory lap yet. I want to see all of them prosecuted because all of them were complicit. I want to see all the people who were circulating the death video. I want y'all to remember. There was a video of them killing and lynching Ahmaud Arbery that these white supremacist suspects were out there in that town sharing this video among each other like a little old perverted snuff film. They were sharing this secretly with each other. When you, I, and us on the grassroots started really making noise about this story and it started getting legs, because remember, it was the grassroots that made this story a thing because they had buried it for weeks. We got on it and we started pulling paperwork and we started connecting dots. We started naming names and saying, hey, wait a minute, we done pulled some of this paperwork up. This paperwork looks funny as hell. When we started doing that and it started getting legs, certain people involved started copping pleas. A lawyer of one of the white supremacists who had access to the video, he came out publicly and released the video of Ahmaud Arbery getting killed to cleanse his hands off of it. He's like, hey guys, I got a video that I'm about to release. I ain't got nothing to do with none of this stuff, but I'm doing the right thing by releasing this video. He was covering his ass. When he did that, I knew it was on then. So this was a thing that these folks were complicit in burying. All of those people need to be investigated. We're not doing the victory lap yet. We're not doing the victory lap yet. And I want y'all to understand some things. During this trial, right when they were deliberating the verdict, I want y'all to understand how controlled opposition works, because see, they understood if this verdict came through with some BS, they knew that there was a possibility for some real turn up going on out there in them streets. They knew that. They knew that. They knew if this verdict came back on some BS, they knew that there was the potential for some lone wolves to get busy. So what they'll do, they will preemptively send out some so-called black militia groups and have them stand around talking all that jive. I saw that. You had some of these quote unquote militia groups standing around the courtroom talking about, yeah, this verdict better be the right verdict, or the black community, we ready to get busy. And I saw a lot of that going on, which is controlled opposition, guys. Whenever you see Negroes getting on the news talking about making veiled threats and all, that's controlled opposition. All right, I want black folks to understand that. When niggas get out here on the news and the news let them get on, the news media gives them a platform. When they give them a platform to get out here to talk all these, make all these veiled threats about what they gonna do, that's controlled opposition. And what that's meant to do was to get people who's really with the business to link up with some of these guys so that these agents will have all your information ready. So if you turn up, they already know who you are. Remember when the Ahmaud Arbery thing first happened, they had Scam Master J out there, so-called turning up, standing in front of the home of the white supremacists. Grandmaster J was out there doing security for the damn government, all right? They were out there posturing with their guns. Yeah, they better not come outside now. They better not come out here now because we are not fucking around. You know, stop. That's controlled opposition. See, we got to learn controlled opposition. We better learn controlled opposition. They get out here doing all that posturing. Yeah, listen, I'm the leader of the such and such black militia, and we gonna get busy on these crackers if this verdict don't come through. Now, all y'all wanna join the real deal, y'all come holler at me. Bring your ID and then bring your serial number for your weapons, all right? But come on through. And then you show up, ready to get busy, and then them niggas are leading you away from where the activity is. You go up with your gun and they're like, yo, okay, listen, what we gonna do, we got a secret location we gonna go to so we can organize and get ready to show these crackers what the business is. Y'all follow me. They're gonna go to a designated place that the government has designated where there's snipers all over the place waiting just in case you act a fool. Now, if y'all come over here now, first of all, I need you to see your ID. That's exactly what Grandmaster J and them guys were doing. Y'all, it sounds like I'm exaggerating. That's exactly what Grandmaster J and them niggas was doing out there in Louisiana, whatever. They were out there checking people's IDs and you had to show your serial number. I'm like, if y'all signed up for this, you deserve to be on a damn federal government watch list. If y'all sat up here and let this fool trick you into giving up all your information. They were going along with that and they were getting mad at me for calling it out. As they see now, it's not even a shadow of a doubt that some of these niggas are agents at this point. They were out here checking people's IDs and oh my God, and niggas was going for it. That's why I remember Ozone, the brother out there in Florida, who was a real cat. Now this dude was really with the business. And a race soldier pulled up to his house and then he got to capping. He went on the run and they knew exactly where to find him. He was up there hiding out at a treehouse behind somebody in Infact's crib. And even Ozone's lady was like, yeah, them Infact dudes, they done snitched on us. I'm like, duh. They knew exactly where to find him. That's the whole key. They want you to join these organizations that they keep a tab on. So when you turn up, they know where you gonna go hide out. Look, we need to turn up. When y'all turn up, y'all come to our, we got some secret locations where you can hide when you turn up. Cause we gotta get real with these crackers. Now we got a secret treehouse where you can go hide when you, if anything happen, you come, we got little sanctuaries that you can come hide in. And that's exactly where the cops go to. They know what treehouse to come find your ass in. That's controlled opposition, dude. And I'm like, y'all niggas, I warned y'all asses and y'all fell right into this. I'm not shocked at all. I am not shocked at all. But the thing is, now that there's a guilty verdict, they put these guilty verdicts on these white supremacists, which was a good thing. You got some of the suspected white supremacists trying to cop pleas about racism. And you had Tulsi Gabbard. Let me play a clip of her. Tulsi Gabbard. Let me find that clip of her. She's up here talking about if America was a racist country, Ahmaud Arbery's killers would not have been found guilty. So now they're trying to use this to cop some little pleas now about racism. Hold on, this is her. The jurors for both Ahmaud Arbery and the Rittenhouse trials had the intelligence and honesty to make the right decisions. If America was a racist country, Arbery's murderers would not have been found guilty by an overwhelmingly white jury in the Deep South. Give me a break. Let me play the clip of her. Hold on. This bad faith argument, this is so disingenuous. Listen to this garbage. Hold on.
So the jury in the Arbery case got the verdict right today, just like the jury got the verdict right in the Rittenhouse case. These jurors are our peers. They're our fellow Americans. And these verdicts show in both these cases how these jurors had the intelligence and the honesty to make the right decision based on examining evidence and facts, not based on race or politics. So these examples directly undermine the woke narrative that Americans are stupid and racist. Because if America was a racist country, like some people say that it is, Arbery's killers would not have been found guilty by a nearly all-white jury in Georgia. Now, most Americans, people of all races, truly believe in and are inspired by Dr. Martin Luther King's adage.
Oh, God.
All God's children. And as such, we should judge each other based on the content of our character, not the color of our skin.
Oh, give me a break. Oh, give me a break when they try to invoke Dr. King's name. And Dr. King's daughter had to call her out. She got in there like, hey, don't use my daddy's name for that. Dr. King's daughter had to come through and say, hey, nah, y'all stop using my dad's name for these narratives. My dad ain't co-signing none of that. Stop it, Tulsi. No, ma'am. No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to play that game where, we're doing the right thing. If we were racist, we wouldn't do the right thing. Let me tell you, Tulsi and other suspected white supremacists, white supremacy exists in the form of racism because the way they covered this trial and covered this case up, the fact that us on the grassroots had to fight so hard and so long to get charges against these white supremacists because they sat here covering it up proves racism. That whole town was conspiring with each other to protect these white supremacists. That's the racism there. That's the proof of the racism. Give me a break. That jury had to do the right thing because there was literally no justification for them to kill Ahmaud Arbery. Literally none. And they saw the people gathering outside that damn courtroom. They saw that things weren't really going to go the way they wanted it to go if they tried to play the I'm white and I say so game in a blatant lynching like that. The fact that they were in the courtroom using all types of racial rhetoric, talking about the black people need to be removed from the audience in the courtroom, that's the racism there. This was a blatant display of racism, this whole trial, the whole case. So trying to spin a narrative like, okay, these white people, if they were racist, they wouldn't do the right thing. No, they were forced to do the right thing. They were forced to do the right thing in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. That was a clown show. That was I'm white and I say so on steroids. Kyle Rittenhouse was out there pointing his gun, doing all types of illegal activities. There were witnesses saying that Kyle pointed his gun at him. Kyle went out there, instigated altercations, and then shot innocent people. Those people had no intentions on encountering Kyle Rittenhouse, but he had all the intentions on going there, instigating something with people. There's video of Kyle on video claiming that he wish he had a gun so he can pop protesters. Many people believe the Kyle Rittenhouse situation was premeditated. We're talking apples and oranges. The Kyle Rittenhouse case was a blatant display of white supremacy. And speaking of Kyle Rittenhouse, they got him going on a mayonnaise tour. They're trying to clean his image up right now. They're trying to clean his image up. And Kyle Rittenhouse, because of his ties with those white supremacist groups, he can't escape that. They're trying to say that Kyle Rittenhouse, he's trying to say that the Proud Boys meeting, him meeting up with the Proud Boys, that was a setup by his lawyer. His lawyer that he fired set him up. So now he's trying to blame his connection with open white supremacist groups because he can't escape that. People keep labeling him a white supremacist now because we kept our foot on the gas making that correlation. That's us doing that. And then the media had to get on it. So now he's trying to clean that image up, that white supremacist suspect image. So now he's trying to blame his lawyer for hooking him up with the Proud Boys. No. No, Kyle. No, you're not going to blame your lawyer, Kyle, because this is Kyle throwing up that white supremacist hand signal. Family, don't ever let him forget this. See, you can't blame your lawyer for this. See, he's trying to run away from this. You're standing there throwing up a white supremacist hand signal. And when you bring that up on social media, the white supremacists get to trolling and all that stuff. No, you can't troll your way out of this, Kyle. This is what makes people legitimately suspect you of being a white supremacist. Kyle is going to have to eat this and own this for the rest of his life. You don't ever let him forget this. Family, right here, that's your evidence that Kyle Rittenhouse is a suspected white supremacist. Don't ever, ever forget that. He can't run from it. You're not slandering him. He's sitting here on full display, putting up a hand sign associated with white supremacy with a white supremacist group. The Proud Boys is a white supremacist group founded by a suspected white supremacist, Gavin McInnes, who has written for several white supremacist websites, who has spewed all types of anti-black white supremacist rhetoric. You make them eat that. You on the grassroots, you keep the foot on the gas as far as that. You don't ever let him forget this. He's going to eat this for the rest of his life. I put this picture up almost every other day. Y'all not going to paint him as some innocent kid who was crying on the stand and all that. No, this dude is up here throwing up a white supremacist hand signal with a white supremacist group. Don't ever forget that. You're not going to try to clean your image up and blame somebody else. This is you, Kyle. This is why we suspect you of being a white supremacist. Don't ever let him live that down. And everybody who supports him should be suspected of white supremacists too. The fact that they've made him a hero among white supremacist circles, that says a lot about the people. See, we're going to do guilty by association too. Anybody who supports Kyle Rittenhouse, you have to suspect them of being a white supremacist. That's what it is. We have to control the narrative, ladies and gentlemen. We have to control the narrative. Oh, I know my audio is kind of janky here. Hold on. We have to control the narrative. I know sometimes when I put up B-roll footage, my audio gets a little janky. My bad. But listen, another thing we got to look into, going back to the Ahmaud Arbery trial, the verdict that came through. When they start wheeling out certain family members, and you know they had the Sharptons and the Crumps and all these people out here, you know, now that there's a victory in this case, you know, the same old people are going to put their faces out there to take credit. And I'm not here for the credit, whatever. I just want people to understand it was a grassroots thing. It was a grassroots thing. When the grassroots get some momentum going, you have the Sharptons and all these people who make sure they get some good camera time so they can start taking credit. But look, I'll give them their little credit, whatever, because this is a group thing. Everybody was involved. I'm not a credit whore. Look, as long as we get the job done, that's good. As long as we get the job done, that's good. That's all I'm concerned with. But you had Crump and those guys, and they wheeled the family out. They wheeled Ahmaud Arbery's family out here. And I'm not a big fan of a lot of these family members who get out here talking after these verdicts because, boy, the butter biscuits are flowing. So here they go. They got Ahmaud Arbery's dad. And, boy, okay, I'm going to let y'all hear the audio. There was butter biscuits served at the victory party. I'll say that. There were some butter biscuits being served at the victory party. Now, here's Ahmaud Arbery's dad. Let me play the audio of this. Hold on. Okay, so he was up here talking about the first thing out of his mouth was all lives matter. I don't want to see nobody kid going through that. This all our problem. He sounds like a slave fresh off the damn plantation. Now, look, I know people, look, you lost a family member, you lost your child. People grieve differently, but man, I want black folks to get off this thing where you have to start damn near apologizing. You get a little piece of victory. You get a little piece of victory, then all of a sudden you feel like you got to apologize to white people. All of that, all lives matter, that's you apologizing to white people. Listen, white people, I know we got us a victory. We don't want you to get mad now. I know we won this case, but I don't be mad at her now, because all lives matter. We is all the same people. We just need to get together and love everybody. Black people, it is not your duty to apologize to white supremacists around the country for you and your children's right to live. It is okay to say, hey, my life and the child, my children's lives matter as human beings. And we don't want to be subjected to white supremacy. There's not a damn thing wrong with saying that. You don't apologize. That's apologizing, all of that. First thing I want to say is all lives matter. That's apologizing. That's all that is, family. That's apologizing. The hell you got to apologize for? We got to apologize for fighting for your damn right to live. I wish I would sit up here doing an apology tour. Come on, so all that. I don't want to see this happen to nobody, not just black peoples. Not just black peoples. I don't want nothing like this to happen to nobody. This ain't happening to white people. White people are not getting lynched for jogging. Then who's lynching a white person? Who's showing up with a gun, killing a white person for jogging down the street? It's not happening to white people. This is something that's happening damn near exclusively to black folks. We got to sit here and dilute the seriousness of it. I want black folks to stop trying to dilute the seriousness of the situation we're in. Family, we are in a white supremacist regime. We have card-carrying white supremacists on the police force in all of these towns and counties around the country. Down there in Florida, they have open white supremacists in the correctional facilities out there. Open white supremacists. Who's out here allowing black folks to get assaulted by other white supremacist groups. Out here in California, we have open white supremacists in the sheriff's department. We have to stop being afraid to call this out, because these same white supremacists in the police force end up getting on the prosecution. And the same white supremacists who are prosecutors end up being judges. This is why we see the Judge Schroeder's, who's clearly a suspected white supremacist by the way he was acting in court. We have these people displaying their white supremacist views in court. We have to stop being afraid to call that out. Speaking of California, another thing that they're doing, if you notice out here in California, we're noticing that the race soldiers are allowing certain types of crimes to go on. Because a lot of people are talking about defund the police and all that, and there's a lot of backlash against the police. And what the police will do, they will allow and even encourage certain crime to go on. Right now in California, they're smash and grab crimes being allowed, and I'm using the word allowed, all over the place. They sit here and allow people to go online and organize smash and grab crimes where they run up in a mall, run up in Nordstrom's, run up in the Louis store, and grab a bunch of items and bounce. Now, these crimes are organized online. And if it's organized online, that means that it is allowed. The police allow this to happen. And see, they let these crimes go on and on, so they scare the public. You get these big headlines. Hey, look at all these smash and grab crimes. Look at this big crime wave. I mean, you're going to have to give us police some more money. You're going to have to refund us. You have to give us some more money if you want us to stop these crimes. I mean, damn. Are you going to be next? Are they going to run up in your home next? If you don't want them to run up in your home, give us more money. Yeah, the smash and grabs are crazy in the Bay right now. Out here where I live, out here in the Valley, the Topanga Mall, they just hit up Nordstrom's at the Topanga Mall yesterday doing a smash and grab. That's the police allows that to happen, man. That's allowed by the damn police. The key word is allowed. Let's be very clear. So we got to keep our eyes on the prize. We got to keep our eyes on what's going on out here. This thing is real. Now listen. Now, there's another case going on out there in Wisconsin with a brother named Daryl Brooks, I think that's his name. Now, this guy allegedly ran over a bunch of white people out there at a parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, which is about, like an hour outside of Kenosha? So, boy, they are trying to reframe this story. They are, boy, this story with this black man, he ran these white people over, he killed about six white people, wounded dozens of others. Boy, they're crying foul because they feel like this was a retaliation for the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. And they feel like they've taken an L with this one. The white supremacists feel like they've taken an L with this one. So what they're trying to do, because this brother is clearly a lone wolf, this black man is a lone wolf, possibly mentally ill. Nobody's co-signing him. No organization. So they've been trying to use the I'm white and I say so narrative to connect him with Black Lives Matter, to make it seem like it's him and a whole bunch of other people. Remember, when the situation happened, some people said it was even an accident. Some people said that he was running from another crime scene. And so we don't know all the facts. But even then, when the situation happened, they were trying to say it was him and some other suspects, when we see there were no other suspects. This was a lone wolf situation. We don't know what's going on here. But see, they're trying to cry foul. And what we've been doing, we've been pointing out and we've been asking questions. We said, hey, in this situation, are they, when he goes to court, will the judge allow Mr. Brooks to pick his own jurors out of a raffle box? Are they going to do that? Should he be allowed to pick his own jurors out of a raffle box? Because that's the precedent that you set out there. Some people are crying foul. Oh my God, how dare you? No, no, no. It's not how dare me. No, that's the precedent you set. We're even asking, hey, wait a minute. Why are y'all calling the people that he allegedly ran over victims? According to the precedent set by the Wisconsin court, you shouldn't really be calling people victims, because that's a loaded term that might sway potential jurors, right? And we pointed this out. Oh, the white supremacists got real mad. Oh, how dare you say that, you damn nigger? How dare you say that? The victims, these people are victims. No, we don't know. No, no, no. You set a precedent. With the Kyle Rittenhouse case, you set a precedent that said that people in a trial should not be called victims, because that term is loaded and it will sway jurors. Y'all were perfectly okay with that precedent. So the precedent should be applied equally across the board. But no, this is different. The Kyle Rittenhouse case was a self-defense. I don't give a damn what the circumstances of the case were that you believe. That's why it's a trial going on, so people can determine what the circumstances and justifications were. And when you set a precedent, that precedent has to be used equally in the law according to the Constitution. Even if it's a common law, it has to be applied equally. Y'all are not going to sit here and pick and choose how you're going to apply statutes and precedents based on race. I'm not doing that. And black folks, you got to stop doing that. Stop going along with racial precedents. They allow a certain precedent to be applied and used based on race. No, we're not doing that. I'm not co-signing that. If you set a precedent for Kyle, set it for everybody else. Set it for everybody else. That precedent is not going to be racially based. No, if the people Kyle killed can't be called victims, don't call the people victims in this new case either. As per the Constitution, equal protection under the law. We're going to have to start calling people out for the laws that they put out and the precedents they set. You understand? Now, if a witness comes on the trial to testify on behalf of Mr. Brooks and talk about his mental state, if that witness happens to be a veteran, we should stand up and applaud that damn veteran. We should give a round of applause for a veteran that's going to testify on behalf of Mr. Brooks. We should give him a nice round of applause, right? 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 Ain't that what we should do? We don't care about the circumstances of the case. That didn't matter in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. You see? See, when they want to set a precedent that's full of crap, and then when it's time for them to eat the crap cake that they made, they want to cry foul. No, you made a cake full of crap. You got to eat that crap your damn self. Feed it right back to them. That's how that works. That's how that works. And the thing is with Mr. Brooks, see, with Kyle, notice how they had Kyle all sitting behind the judge and Kyle just walking all around the courtroom in his little suit. They had him parading around the courtroom. You understand? Now, in this case, it's a little bit different. In this case, they got this dude, Mr. Brooks, they got this guy going up in court looking like Hannibal Lecter. And they put out a fake story. Hold on, let me show y'all how they got him up in court. Look how they got him up in court. Let me show y'all this. Hold on. Yeah, they got him up in court looking like Hannibal Lecter. Look how they got him. They got him. They done ruffled him all in. They got him strapped in, chained around the waist, cuffs on the arms. They made sure a bulletproof vest on, a mask on. They done Hannibal Lectered him. Oh, they're making it a big display. They got to rustle him down like an animal. But because this guy is a lone wolf and they're desperate to try to connect him with somebody, they're trying to make it seem like other black people are complicit. They done put up a fake GoFundMe page and then they complained about the GoFundMe page. GoFundMe yanked a page trying to raise $5 million bail for the parade suspect Daryl Brooks. GoFundMe yanked a page attempting to raise $5 million to bail out the dangerous ex-con accused of killing six people by driving through a Wisconsin Christmas parade. Fundraiser for Daryl Brooks, 33, came amid outrage that he'd even been offered bail. Now, let me tell you something, family. This is the GoFundMe. This is a fake-ass GoFundMe. The GoFundMe didn't raise any money. It was a $5 million GoFundMe that clearly somebody in law enforcement put together. This was a fake GoFundMe that somebody in law enforcement put together. Nobody black put this up. This is fake as hell. And they put this on one of these law enforcement websites. Yeah, this is the website. Law Enforcement Today, they were the one that quote unquote broke the story. This is fake as hell. Some cops put this together. All right. And look at what they wrote. The $5 million goal reportedly set by James Norton. Who the hell is that? Hello, everyone. This is the fake ass GoFundMe page. Hello, everyone. Our dear friend Daryl Brooks was arrested for allegedly driving his car into a parade. As someone who knows Daryl personally, I can tell you he would never do such a thing, and I know he's innocent of what he's charged with. Clearly, there's more to the story that the media is not telling, and I'm seeking to raise the bail so that Daryl can be released to speak his truth to his side of the story. And this tragic situation that sees another black man behind bars in a purely political and racist trial. There's no excuse for this continued treatment of black Americans by prosecutors around the country. This is bullshit. And look at how they ended it. Black Lives Matter. I stand with Daryl. No justice, no peace. Racism is real. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here. This is the police who wrote this. This is fake as hell. Black Lives Matter. This is them trying to tie in. They've been so desperate trying to tie in Black Lives Matter to make it seem like this man is part of a group. No black person wrote this. This ain't none but the police. Give me a damn break. That reminds me of Black's Rule. Remember this old white man? Remember this right here? This old white man said that some black people, he had a Confederate flag, and they had a Confederate, they burned his flag and put Black's Rule in his driveway. Yeah, that's how black people talk, Black's Rule. Get that. And that's almost worse as this one right here, too. Remember this one? Down in Georgia, some people said a neighborhood was vandalized by the Crips, and the Crips went around spraying Crips on people's cars and in garages in the suburbs. And they wrote the word Crips in cursive. No, that's not how Crippin' works. No, Crips don't run around writing Crips. They write their particular set. They don't go around writing the word Crips in cursive. I'm sorry. You understand? So it's all cap, like a mug. But people play these little games, man. People play these games, and we gotta watch, folks. We gotta watch the game out here, man. It's heavy out here. Did y'all see, there's a video game that some Iranians created, and we gotta watch these so-called allies. We gotta watch these folks. They created a video game about George Floyd. Look at this game here. Hold on, media. Right here. Look at this. This is a so-called game they created. A sick George Floyd game creates outrage. Hold on. Sparks online outrage. So this game is called Save Freedom, where you have to stop somebody from killing George Floyd. This is some old sick shit. Iranian game developers are facing the online music, are facing the music online over a tasteless video game in which the objective is to save the life of George Floyd. So they're trying to cash in on a tragedy, and they are using the outrage in order to promote more eyes to the business, by the way. So this game is them trying to stop somebody from killing George Floyd, some sick game that they're going to use the outrage to get more attention so that more white supremacists can buy the product. That's all this is. That's all this is. And let's be very clear. If there was a video game where they were trying to stop Daryl Brooks from running white people over, whatever website selling this game, it would be shut down immediately. Let's be very clear. They wouldn't even be allowed to sell the game. The website that sells the game would be shut down. So we got to watch these so-called allies out here. We got to watch these allies. Because everybody's on code against us. It's black people fighting against justice, and you have all these other groups that's on code against us, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of people on code against us, we got to watch how we allow people to punish black children, because black children get overly punished, where white children can do things and white students can go out here and assault people and use every excuse imaginable to get away with it and not be punished. We see stories all around the country of white students using racial epithets, attacking black kids, and the white students don't get punished at all. They attack teachers. There was a black girl who slapped a white teacher. Boy, they threw all types of charges on her. This white girl, let me play the video. She assaulted a black substitute teacher. And boy, they are making so many excuses for this white girl. This Karen in training right here. Now, I posted this up a week or so ago. It went viral. Now, I want y'all to watch this video of this white girl assaulting her black substitute teacher and calling the police and all this old stuff. Now, let me turn my music down here. Now, watch this video. Watch this here. Hold on. Let me turn the sound up. Hold on.
Me off right now.
Okay, so now, hold on. Okay, so now the little Karen in training was up here in class showing out. She hit the black substitute teacher, starts spewing some racial taunts and all this old stuff, talking about the lady's black and whoop-de-whoop. Now, she sat up here, and now, if this was a black kid who did this to a white teacher, there would be all types of federal charges on that black student. Okay, let's be very clear, because we've seen it already. But family, they're already explaining. They got to explain why they're not going to put any charges on this student. Look at this. This is the splaining right here. Look at the splaining. Let me lower this a little bit. This is the splaining already. Mother of student. Hold on. Let me close this up. Come on. Here's the splaining. Mother of student seen striking teacher says her daughter suffers from autism and depression and blames the school for not labeling her daughter special needs. So all of a sudden they've discovered her daughter is overnight, her daughter is really special needs. The mother of the Texas high school student seen in the now viral video hitting and yelling at a black teacher is citing autism and bipolar condition for her daughter's erratic behavior. She said that she was upset at the teacher and upset for her even being in that situation. And she said her daughter, who has not been named, is autistic, bipolar, and battles depression. Her mother says she's been in nearly a dozen meetings to attempt to have her child placed in a classroom more suitable for children with special needs. I wish the school would label her correctly so I don't have to go through this. So now the family, they're the victims now. They're the victims now. Oh, they don't know any better. Oh, Lord. Okay, here's the part that kills me. She told the news station she had no idea where her daughter would learn something like that because reportedly she doesn't throw racial slangs ever. I know no one in my family that lives in the house with me that throws racial slang. I don't know where my daughter got the racism from. Oh my God, that's just foreign to us. Stop it. Now they don't know where the daughter, she's supposed to be special needs and don't know any better, but she knows better. She knows how to be a damn racist. Oh yeah, being special needs don't make you no damn racist. Stop with it. A lot of special needs children don't even understand the concept of racism, but damn it, this girl knows racism. Give me a damn break. These white supremacists are doing the most out here. Or they'll flip it and become the victim overnight. They will flip it and become the victim over damn night. But that's what it is. But these white supremacists are on code with each other. They're very on code. They're taking L's. They have to do desperate measures in order to get a win at this point. That's why we got to keep our foot on the gas. We cannot take our foot off the gas. We don't have time to break for victory laps. We got to keep our foot on the brakes because these white supremacists are desperate to try to get us to go along with racial non-justice. We can't do that. And black folks, you better stay ready. I'm going to have to start focusing more on survival tactics. On my last broadcast, I was talking about survival tactics and what black folks can do to, you know, stock up on food, to keep our survival, stock up on protection mechanisms. Because these white supremacists are getting serious out here and they're getting desperate because they know they're at a disadvantage because of their numbers. So we got to be ready. You should not be apologetic about protecting yourself and protecting your family. There's no reason to be apologetic for that. While black folks out here trying to party and turn up, these white supremacists are training. They're out here training 24/7 and we got to be ready. They're training with propaganda. They're trying to physically train. And we know that they ain't going to bust a grape on a one-on-one level. So they have to rely on the cowardly Kyle Rittenhouse style ambushes. But I posted this video up, and this is kind of an old video, some training that they're doing. And I asked people, what do you call this style? This is an old video. These people, They're desperate out here. Now look at this fighting style. Look, this video here. I don't know. What is this called here? Hold on. What the hell is this called? Hold on. What is this called? Hold on. Lord, what in the hell is that? What is this, family? what is this style called? So y'all, what y'all gonna do, family? When a suspected white supremacist run up on you with this, what y'all gonna do? Y'all ain't ready for that. What's this style called? Somebody said it's called the drunken hunky. They call this the drunken hunky style. What y'all gonna do when they run up on you with the drunken hunky? What you gonna do? Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters? What you gonna do? When they run up on you with that, y'all better be ready. Y'all ain't ready for the drunken hunky. But listen. We bet if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready, man. Look, these white supremacists are desperate, man. Keep your foot on the gas, ladies and gentlemen. Keep your foot on the gas. No brakes. We don't have time for braking right now. We ain't got time. We don't have time. Anyway, look, let me get up out of here, y'all. It's been real. Yo, my book, Foundational Black American Race Baiter, comes out next week. Next week, only a few more days until my book, Foundational Black American Race Baiter, is out. Only a few more days, guys. Go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com to pre-order the book. This is going to be the greatest book on racial politics that you will read in this century, guys. It's that good. This book is breaking the game down. Very good book. Very good book, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, we got a lot of folks up in here. Anyway, man, go to Amazon.com. BarnesandNoble.com, pre-order the book right now. Also, all my LA people, if you want to be cast in the new film that we're doing, the Maroon film, we're doing our reenactment scenes in a couple of weeks out here in LA. All of my actors and extras, if you want to be in the film, hit me up so we can get you casted. Info@TariqElite.com. Info@TariqElite.com. And speaking of fighters, I need my fighters, my martial art guys to get down with this. Email me info@TariqElite.com if you are in the Los Angeles area, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let me get up out of here. I hope you guys have a very good Thanksgiving. Much respect to you. Peace and love. Papiakute, Lilavuve, to you and your family. And I will holler at you Sunday. Peace.